Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He's our Lord and Savior and Master. He's the author and finisher of our faith. We rule and reign in this life by one Jesus Christ. We're complete in Christ. And he's the head of the body. And he's bigger than the whole universe. God has given him such authority. And all power and authority is in his hands. Just like Joseph and Pharaoh. Joseph had all the power except the throne. It's the same with Jesus Christ. When all things are established and done, then Jesus Christ will give all that power authority back to God. We're going to be celebrating Easter, and we know that Jesus Christ knew what he was going to go through. He willingly laid down his life unto the obedience of God, not his will, but thine will be done, he said. And God was able to empower him and strengthen him to go through what he went through for all of mankind. And that is available for anyone to repent, to change direction, and to receive him as their Lord and Savior, and to walk like he walked, to live like he did, to have a relationship with God through what he accomplished, that we got that direct access. And so, you know, because of what he done, we can now have that life, that Zoe life, that fullness of life, that joy, that peace, that authority, that compassion, the love of God in our minds and our hearts being shed abroad by the Holy Spirit, and that we can truly walk like he walked, with great authority and great love and compassion and the wisdom of God. And so that's what my heart is to be like him. And I am as he is, and for that to play out is for me to set my affections on things above and not on the things of this earth. Every time I think about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when I read about him in the scriptures, I get so excited. I so want to evidence that in my life and in my walk, not just with words, not just with teachings, sharings or writings, but living action, like living it out, you know, healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, you know, ministering to the needs and the hearts of people. And we got to remember what he actually accomplished. We'd read it in Isaiah 53. And Jesus Christ not only paid for the forgiveness of sins and our physical healing, by his stripes we were healed, it also our mental state, our emotional state. He paid for everything. He went through everything that we'll ever go through and a lot more. And it says that he identifies with us as well as we can identify with him. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what it's about. So we're able to draw strength through God in what he'd done, knowing that he also makes intercession for the saints. So when we know who Jesus Christ is, and we know who God is because we know who God is because of what he's done, and we can know who he is and what he done for us, then we will pursue him to live this life and to honor him through living that life that he's called us to live. You know, that word and ministry of reconciliation, to have that same passion and desire for all men to be saved, to speak those words from God like he did. He said, I do nothing of myself. What I see the Father do, I do, and what I speak is what he gives me to speak. And he said, you have no need any man teach you. You know, because we got the Comforter, we got that Spirit of God in us, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory, all his attributes, everything that he accomplished and God, you know, made available through him. As we walk, we grow, and God enlightens us. And there's things that, you know, we change in our life and our walk, because, you know, thank God for all the things that we did learn. So I'd never criticize anything that I've learned from my past, because it's a part of the journey that I went through and what was available for me to get to where I am now. And so we, you know, I was talking with Sangha and Amber. We was on our one-on-one, and we was just tracing back just how that, you know, our desire for God is what he put in our hearts, all of our hearts, to stay with him and to really go after him. And as we stay with God, then he arranges our journey. You know, so there's two stories. There's our life story, and there's God's story. And the story that God is, he knows your beginning and your end, right? He knows the journey of your life. And so when we follow God's direction for our life, then we're on God's story. So he can make those arrangements for us to come in contact with certain people, which opens doors for the area that we need to move down. So for me, when I come out of this big ministry that a lot of you know about and were involved in, there was 10 years of nothing. 10 years of me wondering, am I ever going to really do anything with God? And a desire to really know him. So I started my fellowship anyway, with my family and my mum and my sister and Jason. He's been around all that time. And so basically, with all these things, it led to a point where I got the connection. I met another believer, and through that believer I met another believer, and through that believer I met Sangat. And then my journey really began to take off when we went to India. You know, I went to India for the first time. God brought people into my life to equip me with the necessary things that I needed to take my journey further. So through the wonderful believer that lived in Bath at that time, a door opened that I met this other guy who lives in the USA, and through him he met Sangat, and then Sangat happened to come back from USA. This was going back in 2003, right, love? And he just happened to say to this one person, do you know anyone who really wants to know about God and move with God in England? Because I'm going to Oxford and I'm going to stay with Beatrice's cousin down there. And he said, yes, I know a guy called Lawrence. And so Sangat said, here's the phone number of where I'm going to go. If he's really interested, you get him to call me. And then so I got this urgent email from this guy. And he said, look, this guy doesn't mess around. If you really want to know about the power of God and moving with God, you need to ring this number. I tried to get hold of him, and I left countless of messages. And anyway, finally he got the message. And Sangat actually got on a train from Oxford and travelled all the way down on a Friday night. And me and Kim just finished work. We was both working then. And we went to pick him up from the train station. We got the wrong station, didn't we? And I walked past him loads of times because I was thinking, you know, I'm looking for an Indian guy. But Sangat wasn't like your typical Indian looking person. So anyway, we finally found him and we come back. And that one night spent with that man changed our whole lives. And that was the fellowship that we had at my mum's. And he says, okay, you're going to move the word of God throughout all of the UK and the whole of Europe. And it was, I've been praying for 10 years, I need a word from you, God. I need something from you to show me that you've called me and you've got something for me. And that was the word. And for 2 years, I kept that in my heart. I never spoke to Sangat within those 2 years. And from this believer that lived in Bath, I found out there were believers in Oxford. And he said, oh, do you know Sangate's going to Oxford to do this class, how to heal the sick and cast out devils? So anyway, he gave me the contact information. I rung the people down there and they said, no, you can't come to the meeting, but we're allowed you to come to the Sunday at the end of the day. Well, that very night, on the Saturday night, I went to bed late, way into early hours of Sunday morning. I was excited to see the sky. And God gave me a dream and he showed me I was going full time. And I've been contemplating going full time, giving up my circular job to live unto God. And in this dream, it was like real life. And God took me through 3 scenes in my life in this dream. And he showed me, and I knew that I was going to be given, not going back to work. I knew that when I woke up in the morning, that was it. I'm now living unto God, fully committed to do what he wants. And I woke up, I couldn't even speak. I was so peaceful. We drove the hour or so to Oxford, and Kim said, are you all right, love? I said, I'm absolutely fine. I just don't speak to me now. I'm just so peaceful. And we went into that meeting, and in that meeting, we met people we'd never seen before. And Sangat was teaching, God is looking for full-time ministers those that live fully unto God. I never forget it. I knew that was just for me, that teaching, right? And so, and I went up to Kim, and Kim wasn't for all of this before, months before. And I said, okay, today, love, I don't go back to the circular job, but I'm living unto God. She said, it's about time. And I was like, I was waiting for a backlash, but she was really blessed. And we gave our numbers out to different people, and we never told anyone. Anyway, on the Monday, I got a phone call from a believer that we met there, who was American, who happened to have a job working for the U.S. Army. And she called and she said, I don't know what it was, but God put it in my heart I needed to support you. And I'm going to send you £250 a month to support you. So from the very first day I made up my mind, there was somewhere there to support. She didn't know. Then I told her the story. And Kim, doubting Kim, she won't mind me saying this because I say it with good heart. She said, okay, love. She goes, well, that's not going to pay the rent. That's not going to do this and do that. And we were actually in £1,000 rent arrears, even though we were both working, right? And she said, well, love, we got to go to court next Friday. This was on the Monday, wasn't it? And that Friday, we had to go to court, and we was going to lose the house if we didn't pay that £1,000 rent arrears off. And she said, okay, well, let's see if it's really from God then. Like, mocking me in a funny, bad attitude, shell at that time. I said, okay, we'll pray right now. And I said, God, I believe that you've called me to do this, and we're in trouble. So you need to send me £1,000, and it can't be a check because it takes 7 days to clear. I need cash. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. That simple. Kim said, okay, we'll see. On the Wednesday, we get a knock on the door, and it was FedEx, and they had a carrier bag, like a plastic bag. Inside was a shoebox. Inside the shoebox, there was loads of polystyrene, and inside that there was an envelope, and I opened the envelope and it was £1,000 cash, and it was from the person that was going to support us monthly. And she rung us up. She said, did you get my parcel? I said, yes. I said, how did you know? She said, I didn't know anything. She said, God just put it in my heart that you needed this urgently. So we went to the court, we saved the house, and then from that I invited Sangit. That was in the June. That was in the June of 2005. In the November of the same year, I asked Sangit, would he come over and teach how to heal the sick and cast out devils seminar for the believers in Bristol and Bath. He said yes. I didn't pay for him to come over. He paid out of his own pocket to come. And when he come, in the meantime, this other guy wrote to Sangit, the guy that lived in Bath, and said, would you ordain Lawrence, because he's ministering to, you know, God's people, and we need something like this here. And Sangit wrote back and said yes. So at this How to Heal the Sick and Cast Out Devils, Sangit done this ordination, and the same person that supported us in the very beginning come up and gave me an envelope, and in the envelope she said, Lawrence, this is for you, and you can do whatever you want with it, she said, but it's for you to go to India. And I opened up, there was £3,000. And so I brought the person along from Bath to come with me. And it ended up, there was three of us that went to India in February the 26th, 2006. And that's when I started to experience people being healed, people being delivered, come back, started ministering here. And then the doors opened for us to go to France, to Ireland, to Spain, all over the place. So through these, just staying with God, it may seem like there's nothing happened for you right now, but God has got a perfect plan for every one of us. We just stay with Him. We just trust Him. And we allow Him to direct our steps. A similar thing happened for Sangit when he was in India, how he began. Similar steps with different people and connections and things happening. And God is no respecter of persons, but He will respect your faith and your trust and your confidence in Him. And so I'm just really thankful to God. And so we kind of reminisced on this when we had the one-on-one with Amber, because Sangit was sharing how he started, how he began. And then I said to Amber after, I said, look, this is pretty much it's the same story with me, actually. When I'm here in Sandgate, share this. This is what happened with me, but in my way. So God is so faithful, guys. Just stay with God and trust Him and walk with Him and believe Him. And the things that you're hearing, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful man. Paul said that. I can say that. I'm a son of God too. And I'm a minister for the Lord Jesus Christ. So receive these words gladly, take them to your heart, and you practice. You stay with God. You speak those heavenly words. Your confession is very important. You know, don't say your circumstances, your situations, but say what God says about you. Speak that from your mouth. And act upon the things that God gives you to do. And He can make a long journey very short to your destination of bringing glory to Him. Because we're not bringing glory to us. We want to give all the glory to God. Because He's the one doing all the work. We're just being obedient. We're just being thankful and willing heart.